This is Pastor Bill bringing you a News in Focus. This one is, not very new. It is this year, though, and it's from Jeff Hafner's coaching blog, and it's called Yes, I Do Play My Favorites. I feel like I can speak extensively to this as even a pastor. I played 8 years of soccer, 8 years of basketball, wrestled for 2 years for some reason, and now I have coached. I have coached 9 seasons in 7 years of soccer. So along with that, I did some church leagues back when I was in the Army. I coached a little here, a little there. I don't really count those too much because of how ridiculously everybody wins. They sort of tone they give off. So anyway, I wanted you to hear this short and very helpful article. After reading the article, I do have my favorites written by unknown author. I was inspired to write my own version. This is by Jeff Hafner. I bet every coach has been accused of playing their favorites. I have yet to be directly accused of this by a parent, but I'm certain a few parents think that I do. Well, they are right. I do play favorites. I play my favorites. My favorite players, they show enthusiasm. They look at me when I talk. They hustle. They show up on time. They put in an extra effort. Always do what I ask. They help teammates, tell the truth, never say a word, never say the word can't, never give up, have no fear of making mistakes, maintain a positive attitude at all times. They say thank you, they show respect, they routinely show acts of kindness, commit to excellence, lead by example, treat others the way they want to be treated, enjoy practices, show character on the court, show character off the court, and so on. Those are my favorites, and I play them more, and I should. If I didn't, I would be reinforcing bad behavior. I, of course, want every single player to improve, have fun, learn life lessons, so I try very hard to get every player plenty of opportunities and help every player develop those positive qualities. But if a parent or player accuses me of playing favorites, they are correct. I do, and I should. I will constantly try to encourage the intangibles, the positive character traits. One way to do that is through playing time and communicating with players. This is not only the factor when it comes to playing time, but it certainly is a factor. This is not the only factor when it comes to playing time, but it certainly is a factor. And my players should know that, otherwise I'm not doing my job. That's the end. That's it. And I just want to say amen, and I just want to add one more thing. Sometimes I will play not my favorites, but it is for the sake of my favorites. I want my favorites to enjoy winning. And so sometimes I will put someone in that we must have as a team in a position, and it will not be for the sake of that joker. It'll be for the sake of the rest of the team. But all in all, I agree with the principle. I'm not putting in the dude who thinks he's amazing, because he's probably not. Furthermore, he's probably not coachable. So if I can see myself not giving someone a coach's award, there's probably a chance that they're not going to be my first pick to put in a position. No. There's a lot of things I consider, especially when we're talking about school. In other words, if I know that I have a sophomore and he's not all that great, I'm probably going to give him a little bit more playing time than I would over a senior who is just same level of expertise. Some might say, well, if he's a senior, you ought to honor him by giving him more time. Yeah, you think like a parent. You need to, and you might even think like a loyal fan, but you don't think like a coach who plans on being there the next season and knows that between now and then they get basketball and baseball and summer vacation. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that when your coach plays someone instead of your kid, it might be because, first of all, your child is not that great. Secondly, it might be because your child is a goof-off during practice. Thirdly, it might mean that even though your child's not a goof-off at practice, he might be an absolute bear to coach. Maybe you ought to ask your coach, what can my son do better at practice? And it might be he needs to show up with his shoes on. Might be he needs to show up with his shin guards in hand or on his legs where they belong. It might be that he needs to figure out how to have a good attitude and act like a Christian on the field. It might be. I can tell you from experience, everyone flashes in the flesh sometimes, it seems, and I have some idea what it is to be out of the spirit when I am coaching. I do understand that. I understand that there is room for forgiveness and reconciliation even with an unlawful jerk of a player. So I'm just trying to get some perspective here. Do I, as a coach, as I consider whether or not I'm going to coach an eighth straight season at Berean, eighth straight year at Berean, do I as a coach want to deal with a culture that is primarily bullied by whiners and people that get their little feelings hurt? It's very interesting. It's very interesting. It's a real dynamic. And while we want to develop people and give them life lessons, and we also want to win. And while we want to win, we also want to make sure that those who work the hardest and are a positive influence and are doing what the coach says and are watching their diet and going to bed on time and actually showing an interest in personal development, we want to reward those. Well, it's an old article, so even though it's the 13th of December today, I've set it back about a week so that some of you who are interested in listening can do so. And also, since it's Sunday, I don't want to detract from God's working in your heart. So this will not show up on December the 13th's feed, but know that I think this could be edifying to you as a believer. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, Colossians 3:17. If you can't imagine Jesus working as little as you are, then you are not a good player. Love to you in Christ. Thanks for listening.